Chapter 66, Out of Service. Not long, however, after Zarathustra had freed himself from the magician, he again saw a person sitting beside the path which he followed, namely a tall black man with a haggard, pale countenance. This man grieved him exceedingly. "Alas," said he to his heart, "there sits disguised affliction. I think he is of the type of the priest. What do they want in my dominion? What? Hardly have I escaped from that magician, and must another necromancer again run across my path? Some sorcerer with laying on of hands, some somber wonder-worker by the grace of God, some anointed world-maligner, whom may the devil take? But the devil is never at the place which would be his right place. He always comes too late, that cursed dwarf and clubfoot." Thus cursed Zarathustra impatiently in his heart, and considered how, with an averted look, he might slip past the black man. But behold, it came about otherwise. For at the same moment had the sitting one already perceived him, and not unlike one whom an unexpected happiness overtakes, he sprang to his feet and went straight toward Zarathustra. "Whoever you are, you traveler," said he, "help a strayed one, a seeker, an old man, who may here easily come to grief. The world here is strange to me and remote. Wild beasts also do I hear howling, and he who could have given me protection, he is himself no more. I was seeking the pious man, a saint and an anchorite, who, alone in his forest, had not yet heard of what all the world knows at present." "What does all the world know at present?" asked Zarathustra. "Perhaps that the old God no longer lives, in whom all the world once believed." "You say it," answered the old man sorrowfully, "and I serve that old God until his last hour. Now, however, am I out of service, without master, and yet not free. Likewise, am I no longer merry even for an hour, except it be in recollections. Therefore did I ascend into these mountains, that I might finally have a festival for myself once more, as becomes an old pope and church father. For know it, that I am the last pope, a festival of pious recollections and divine services. Now, however, is he himself dead, the most pious of men, the saint in the forest, who praised his God constantly with singing and mumbling. He himself found I no longer when I found his cot, but two wolves found I therein, which howled on account of his death, for all animals loved him. Then did I haste away. Had I thus come in vain into these forests and mountains? Then did my heart determine that I should seek another, the most pious of all those who believe not in God. My heart determined that I should seek Zarathustra. Thus spoke the hoary man, and gazed with keen eyes at him who stood before him. Zarathustra, however, seized the hand of the old pope, and regarded it a long while with admiration. "Lo, you venerable one," said he then, "what a fine and long hand! This is the hand of one who has ever dispensed blessings. Now, however, does it hold fast him whom you seek, me, Zarathustra? It is I, the ungodly Zarathustra, who says, 'Who is ungodlier than I, that I may enjoy his teaching?'" Thus spoke Zarathustra, and penetrated with his glances the thoughts and arrear thoughts of the old pope. At last the latter began, "He who most loved and possessed him has now also lost him most. Lo, I myself am surely the most godless of us at present, but who could rejoice at that?" "You served him to the last," asked Zarathustra thoughtfully, after a deep silence. "You know how he died. Is it true what they say, that sympathy choked him, that he saw how man hung on the cross and could not endure it, that his love to man became his hell, and at last his death?" The old pope, however, did not answer, but looked aside timidly, with a painful and gloomy expression. "Let him go," said Zarathustra, after prolonged meditation, still looking the old man straight in the eye. "Let him go, he is gone. And though it honors you that you speak only in praise of this dead one, yet you know as well as I who he was, and that he went curious ways. To speak before three eyes, said the Pope cheerfully. He was blind of one eye. In divine matters, I am more enlightened than Zarathustra himself, and may well be so. My love served him long years. My will followed all his will. A good servant, however, knows everything, and many a thing even which a master hides from himself. He was a hidden god, full of secrecy. Verily, he did not come by his son otherwise than by his secret ways. At the door of his faith stands adultery. Whoever extols him as a god of love does not think highly enough of love itself. Did not that god want also to be judge? But the loving one loves irrespective of reward and requital. When he was young, that god out of the Orient, then was he harsh and revengeful, and built himself a hell for the delight of his favorites. At last, however, he became old and soft and mellow and pitiful, more like a grandfather than a father, but most like a tottering old grandmother. There did he sit shriveled in his chimney corner, fretting on account of his weak legs, world-weary, will-weary, and one day he suffocated of his all-too-great pity. "You old Pope," said here Zarathustra, interposing, "have you seen that with your eyes? It could well have happened in that way, and also otherwise. When gods die, they also die many kinds of death. Well, at all events, one way or another, he is gone. He was counter to the taste of mine ears and eyes. Worse than that, I should not like to say against him. I love everything that looks bright and speaks honestly. But he, you know it forsooth, you old priests. There was something of your type in him, the priest type. He was equivocal. He was also indistinct. How he raged at us, this rat-snorter, because we understood him badly. But why did he not speak more clearly? And if the fault lay in our ears, why did he give us ears that hurt him badly? If there was dirt in our ears, well, who put it in them? Too much miscarried with him, this potter who had not learned thoroughly. That he took revenge on his pots and creations, however, because they turned out badly, that was a sin against good taste. There is also good taste in piety. This at last said, away with such a god. Better to have no god, better to set up destiny on one's own account, better to be a fool, better to be God oneself. What do I hear? Said then the old Pope, with intent ears. O Zarathustra, you are more pious than you believe, with such an unbelief. Some God in you has converted you to your ungodliness. Is it not your piety itself which no longer lets you believe in a God? And your overgreat honesty will yet lead you even beyond good and evil. Behold, what has been reserved for you? You have eyes and hands and mouth which have been predestined for blessing from eternity. One does not bless with the hand alone. Near to you, though you profess to be the ungodliest one, I feel a hail and holy order of long benedictions. I feel glad and grieve thereby. Let me be your guest, O Zarathustra, for a single night. Nowhere on earth shall I now feel better than with you. Amen, so shall it be, said Zarathustra, with great astonishment. Up here leads the way. There lies the cave of Zarathustra. Gladly, forsooth, would I conduct you here myself, you venerable one, for I love all pious men. But now a cry of distress calls me hastily away from you. In my domain shall no one come to grief. My cave is a good haven. And best of all, would I like to put every sorrowful one again on firm land and firm legs. Who, however, could take your melancholy off your shoulders? For that I am too weak. Long, verily, should we have to wait until someone reawoke your God for you. For that old God lives no more. He is indeed dead. Thus spoke Zarathustra.